heavy as you bear it all alone. Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle? Just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. How is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him. Just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Out of respect to our Lord and to His Word, I'm thankful that God is always true to His Word. And I love the Bible. And, you know, the Bible is just, that is the Christian's tool, the main tool that he carries. And so I hope you'll make sure and always use your Bible. Have it with you in church and walk with God and get to know the Lord and see what God can do in your life. Look at verses 1 to 7, 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1 to 7. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said to him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Look at verse 4 again, if you would, please. "But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them."
Thank you, and you may be seated. Trouble is a normal part of this life in which you and I live. It is strange how that people magnify trouble rather than magnify the good things they have in life. What a different world it would be if we could learn to magnify all the good things God does for us, all the wonderful things that we can enjoy that are good. Some people call attention to their troubles. They talk about them. They like to discuss them. Some like to compare them with other people who have trouble. There are others still who like to dwell on them, and even some, it seems as though they glory in their trouble. But really, troubles aren't as bad as we think they are. In fact, some people bring all their troubles out of the past, and there are even some who look for troubles. They're wanting to find troubles. I heard of a businessman that drew up a sort of a worry chart, if you would. He kept records of all his worries, because you know worries and troubles go together. And he discovered that 40% of them were about those things that probably would never happen. 30% concerned past decisions that he could not change. 12% dealt with other people's criticism of him. And 10% were worries about his health. He concluded that only 8% of them were really legitimate. Only 8%. So 92% of his worries were unfounded worries. The worried cow could have lasted until now if she hadn't lost her breath. She thought the hay couldn't last all day, so she choked herself to death. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are going to have trouble. For example, in Job chapter 14 in verse number 1, and let me ask you a question. Do you think Job might know something about trouble? The Bible said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Sounds anything like your life or mine? Job also said in Job chapter 5, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's also true that some troubles can be avoided. For example, Proverbs 21 verse 23 says this, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Would you agree with me that we probably have more trouble because we open our mouth than when we keep it closed? God's real clear about that. Like when we worry about something, have you ever done this? Have you ever said something and worried all night you said it? Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So, you know, we have trouble. That's just a part of life. God often uses the spade of sorrow to dig the wells of joy. In this passage and other passages tonight, we're going to just take a little bit of time and look at the blessing of trouble. The blessing of trouble. And probably all of you are sitting here saying, you know, I got to figure out how in the world can trouble and blessing go together. Well, God uses trouble in our lives, and the trouble that comes, it causes things to happen in our life. It causes us to make decisions, to respond to God, or to respond to the situations and the circumstances that come in our life. Here in this passage, Israel had to respond, or it was sure that things were going to get even worse than they already were. So I want to give you those five causes tonight, and I'm going to move kind of rapidly, so I hope you'll stay with me. Verse number 4 shows us the very first one, that trouble makes us turn to the Lord. Trouble makes us turn to the Lord. Now, I touched on something this morning, and I kind of want to maybe kind of drag this out just a little bit, because our nature, letter A, is always going to be to go away from God when we get in trouble. That's just our human nature. Human nature says that when we have trouble, it's because probably God's mad at us. And by running away from God, then we're going to kind of just ignore all that. I remember several years ago when I was working in my dad's Dairy Queen, we had a lady in our Dairy Queen there that worked the evening shift. And I remember going to her one night. She was going through a hard time. And she says, "I don't know how to deal with all these issues in my life." And she said something like this, you know, she said, "I don't know what's going to happen in the end. I don't know where I'm when I die or anything." She's just talking like that, you know. And so, of course, you know, I'm ready to go in the ministry. I'm all excited. So I jumped right in on that one, you know. And I started telling her about Jesus and all that. And she goes, don't talk about that. I just don't want to hear about that, because she said, "If I don't hear about it, then it won't happen to me." And I think sometimes that's what happens. You know, we get the idea that you know, when trouble comes, that if we somehow run away from God, that's our nature, that's sort of our gut reaction, that we turn away from God, that somehow those things will go away. But it doesn't work like that. But we do understand that's our human nature. In fact, the Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." So by avoiding God, we do not avoid trouble. But then also, how about our circumstances? Have you ever thought about this? Many people turn to God when the circumstances are very difficult. Some people may have a great testimony of when they turn to the Lord. And I've had people who are members of our church, or people who I've met along the way, have told me, you know, it's because of the fact that maybe it's one of those foxhole conversions, if you would, or those things that's happened in my life that God got my attention. And because of that, then it caused me to turn to the Lord. I heard about a man one time that went into the hospital. He went to the ER. They said, "Oh man, your leg's all broke, and so we've got to take you in and get you, you know, all fixed up." And that was years ago when they would bring men to the hospital for broken legs, and brought him in, and they casted his leg and all of that, and he sat there all night, and it was bothering him. You know, he just couldn't sleep. But as he was lying there at night, someone had written on the wall these verses: "Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." And as he was reading those verses, you know, it just really dawned on him who God is and what God can do for him. And the next morning, the nurse came in and she said, "You know, sir, I just want to tell you something. I'm really sorry, but we made a mistake. Your leg's not really broken. It's just badly bruised." And so she started taking the cast off, and she said, I hope it wasn't an inconvenience." And he says, "Ma'am, that was the greatest night of my life, because tonight I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And so you have to realize that there are times when trouble comes and trouble causes us or makes us want to turn to the Lord. And so the first reason why we know there's a blessing, it is a blessing, is the fact that it causes us to want to turn unto the Lord. But let me give you the second cause. It makes us to trust in the Lord. We want to trust in the Lord. 2 Samuel says this: "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter in to his ears." You see, trust is the only way through the problems. Letter A. Trust is the only way through the problems. Some problems I can't do anything about. In fact, remember what in that worry chart? 92% of the things that we worry about never happen. But the 8% of the things that may be legitimate worries, trust is the only way through many of those issues or problems or circumstances. That's how God shows us what a wonderful Savior he really is. You see, the scriptures record times when men would trust God through difficulties. I mean, we read about them all the time. I just mentioned to you one. How about this one? In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86 in verse 7. God sometimes will bring us through difficulties and circumstances, and he may take our things away from us, or maybe certain situations may alter the way we feel about things, and yet God in his work is causing us to learn to trust him through the problems. Let me ask you this tonight. Can we trust God for our salvation? Isn't he the only way to heaven? Can we trust God to take care of every one of our needs? Amen. And can we trust God through our problems? Yes, we can. And so what God is saying is that we learn that through these circumstances and situations, and I'm going to be honest with you, today, right now, we are living in some of the most difficult times. These are perilous times. I don't doubt in my mind that every one of you, if you've not been through a major trial or calamity in the last year, then you'll probably get one before the year's out. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying it's just the way it is. I don't know about you, but I found there's just trouble always lurking somewhere in my life. It may be my car. I would love at one time in my life to have everything working properly in my house and my car and all of my things. How many of you agree with me? Wouldn't that be nice? Do you always have like a light out or something not working right or a button not working right or whatever the case? It just seems like it's always trouble. I remember years ago, I read about a church that had a bus ministry. And church members used to complain about how awful it was that the bus would have oil leaks on parking lots and all these kids would come and white boogers on the walls and all those kind of things. And so they were really upset about how bad it was. And they said, boy, in D.L. Moody's day, they never had those problems. What they had in D.L. Moody's day, they had horses. How many of you realize horses can be problematic? Because they have two ends that cause a lot of problems. Are you with me? If you think we're living, that those were the good old days, you're wrong. These are the good old days. You see, when we go through problems, we have to understand that trust is the only way through problems. And you say, well, what can I trust in? Normally, it's not ourselves or somebody else. We know that. We understand that. I think that's what the trouble and the difficulties come to show us. The only person we can trust in is the Lord himself. Troubles show us we can only go to the Lord. Letter B. People need to have their props removed, and oftentimes God will do that. God will take the props away. God will take the things that we trust in away. And God shows us how powerful he really is. I read about an old man once that was in a meeting that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was preaching. And that was in a time when, and I've talked about those times when you know, you give testimonies and you stand up and used to call, we're going to testify tonight. And so this older gentleman stood up in the meeting and he said, well, he goes, my kids have all gone. They've all grown and left me. My wife died. I've lost everything I have. He says, and my health is almost gone. All I have left is Jesus. And he sat down. And Dr. Bob was about ready to move on, and he goes, oh, wait just a minute. And he made his way back up, and Dr. Bob held the meeting for just a moment. He said, that's all I need is Jesus. And he sat back down. And I want to tell you tonight, when everything is gone, all we need is Jesus. I think Brother Kilthow said it very well the other night as he was preaching through that passage in Matthew 17. Remember what he said? Jesus only. Because that's what it is. Folks, quite frankly, life, it's Jesus only. That's what it's about. And so when I look into this passage, I understand when God says that he brings this trouble because for the nation of Israel, he wanted the trouble to, number one, to understand that they must turn to the Lord, because it's through that trouble that would cause any of us to turn to the Lord. But second of all, trouble makes us trust in the Lord. And when we are in trouble and we're trusting the Lord, we realize how powerful God really is. But let me give you the third cause. Trouble not only makes us trust in the Lord, but it brings growth from the Lord. Trouble brings growth. Psalm 4 says it like this: "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." You realize that God will oftentimes use trouble to enlarge or grow us? Charles Spurgeon. How many of you have ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher in Baptist circles. He is still considered from England the greatest mind that England ever produced. Charles Spurgeon was an amazing individual. Charles Spurgeon died, I think, when he was about 57 years old. He died of a gout, and he had a lot of depression. He struggled with that. That was one of his nemesis. It always was eating away at him. But Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher. People would come from miles around, and they would hear him preach. But what most people don't realize is what made Charles Spurgeon the great preacher was God working his life in trouble. He was kicked out, if you would, or booted out of what is called the Baptist Union of Great Britain and Ireland. And they just refused to have him be a part because of his preaching and his style and some of the other things. And so they just booted him right out. But let me ask you a question. How many of you people have ever heard, how many in here have ever heard of any of the preachers that kicked Spurgeon out of the Baptist Union? How many ever heard of them? Can anyone give me any of their names? Interesting, isn't it? But all of us have heard of Charles Spurgeon. You see, God, out of trouble, God raised up this man. And God used him to literally impact the continent of England for Jesus Christ. And it's exciting to hear that. John Wesley, maybe some of you might realize that John Wesley was not allowed to preach in his own pulpit because he believed in what's called instant conversion. That means that when you hear the gospel and God works in your heart, you can be saved instantly. There's no process of salvation. Thank God for that. That's biblical teaching. So he stood on his father's tombstone and he preached to crowds of people that were larger outside by his father's tombstone than those who went inside the church. He would preach outside in cold weather where there would be frost and rain. There would be crowds as large as 20,000 that would come to hear John Wesley preach, and he would preach for 2 to 3 hours, and he had the largest itinerant ministry in the history of horseback riding preachers. That was John Wesley. Charles Finney. How many of you have heard of Charles Finney? Charles Finney was told, his pastor came to him one day and said, "I'm ashamed of you. I'm embarrassed that you're a part of my church." Heartbroken, Charles Finney went on preaching anyway. Thank God that a man just keeps on preaching, because, look, if God calls you to preach, you just keep on preaching. We're not men called, we're God called. And he kept on preaching. And he was preaching, and he would preach many nights in nightly meetings. And I read about the time, one meeting, where he was preaching, and he refused to give the invitation that night. And the people would come to him after the meeting and said, "Dr. Finney, would you please give us an invitation? We want to respond." And he said, "Come back tomorrow night and I'll pray about it." He came back the next night and he preached a powerful message. And they came to him and said, "Dr. Finney, please give us the invitation." And he refused. It went on for for 4 and 5 and 6 nights. Back in those days, they'd preach for weeks. And people keep coming, and they come, and they came, and they came, and he preached. And he said, you know, I'm waiting on the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm waiting on God to tell me. Eventually, on the last night of his meeting, Charles Finney gave an invitation, and 500 adult men walked the aisle and trusted Christ as Savior. But his pastor was embarrassed of him. Look, out of trouble, there are so many times when you have trouble in your life that out of trouble, God is growing you. So in times of trouble, God uses that to bring great success to our lives. I don't think any of us, if you know anything about modern Christian history, would deny the fact that God used Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley, and Charles Finney as great men of God in their era. But there are times of trouble that brings great lessons. They bring great lessons. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I probably learned more from my failures than I have from my successes. How about you? You know, probably children learn more about fire from when they burn themselves than when they never touch the fire. We've learned more about the times we failed in whatever pursuits we had than the times when we just went through and did it and did perfectly. It just seems that way. I read about a doctor one time that a man came and he was going to operate on the man's ear. And he said to him, "This may hurt you, but it won't harm you." And I can almost hear God, whenever we have trouble in our life, God may say something like this: "It may hurt you, but it's not going to harm you." I don't know what trouble you might be facing in your life or what you're going through, but I want to tell you something, that God is well able to take care of his people. A man stopped going to church one day because frost had destroyed his peach crop. He was very upset at God. He came to the preacher and he told the preacher, I'm not going to serve a God that would be that cruel as to ruin a man's peach crop. The preacher told the man that God knew the frost was not good for the peach crop, but he also told him that he knew that God couldn't grow men without the frost. And it's so true today that sometimes in our own life, while we may detest trouble, trouble can be a blessing because God's using trouble to grow us. And that's what we learn from this passage. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. God grew them through the trouble. So when we talk about it being a blessing, we understand that God works in that way. But let me give you a fourth cause for trouble, and this is really, really good. Write this one down. Trouble brings the presence of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in, what's the next word? Trouble. Do you realize that God comes to you when you are in trouble? What a blessing that is. You see, we know him best, letter A, when we are in trouble. I remember one time I heard about another testimony meeting when they were going around the room and different ones were standing giving their testimony. And one man stood up and he said something like this. Here's what he said. He stood up and he said, "I just want to read a verse." And everybody in the room sat there and they wanted to hear what verse the man was going to read. You know, they kind of thumbed through their Bible a little bit. He said, "Let me read it to you. You won't have time to find it." And it came to pass, and he sat down. Everybody thought, that's a little bit odd. Why would anyone get up and read, "And it came to pass"? And so the preacher said, "Sir, you know, thank you for the verse, but what's the significance of it?" He says, "You know, I'm just really thankful to God that when the trials and problems come, they come to pass. They don't come to stay." Amen? Isn't that a blessing? You see, it's because when the trouble comes, and we have done, that's when we realize how wonderful it is to not have them. But when we are in trouble, it's also good to know that we have the presence of God. We know him best. We know him best. We understand how big God is. And so the idea then is, as the psalmist was saying, that God comes to me when I'm in trouble. God comes to me when I'm having my hardest days, because God is there holding me up. He's taking me through whatever I'm going through in my life, whether it's here at the church when maybe the attendance is down, or maybe the offerings are off, or maybe there's problems galore, or whatever the case is. God is there. He's a refuge. He's a stronghold. He's bearing us up. He's binding us up. He's holding us up through the difficulties. We also know ease best in blessings. So we know the presence of God, but we also know ease best in the blessings. How many of you realize that ease in blessings can be a curse? How many of you recognize that? It really can. I know some of you say, well, I'd like to just have some of that to see if it is. But I'm going to tell you this, ease can really get you. It's because of ease can destroy our effectiveness. The psalmist said this, I was glad when God afflicted me. You see, it's in the times of trouble we realize how great God is. But ease can afflict us and hurt us. It's when we get let down. You do realize that if you raise children and you just give them everything they want and make their life nothing but fun and nothing but enjoyment, and everything's just hunky-dory and there's never a problem, they always get their way and always get what they want, that is when you're going to raise a delinquent. You're going to raise a child that's going to be a detriment to you, and it's going to hurt you. We raise children and we make them realize that, you know, life is not all about what they want and what they desire, and that it's all about joy and all about happiness. Because let's be honest, life has its sad times. Life has its trouble. Life has its difficulties. Life is not a bed of ease. Look, our ease comes when we stand in the presence of our Savior. But we're going to struggle. And trouble, as it comes, the Bible said that God's presence will be with us. Thank God for His presence. So trouble makes us turn to the Lord. Trouble makes us trust in the Lord. Trouble brings growth from the Lord. Trouble brings the presence of the Lord. And let me give you the fifth one more. Trouble brings the protection of God. I like that. Trouble brings the protection of God. For the times of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. According to the verse, it says He, letter A, will place me in His pavilion. That pavilion is a protection. When you're in trouble, God says, you know what I'm going to do? No, I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in my pavilion. I think of a couple of people in the Bible that understand this. I think of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men knew something about the pavilion of God, didn't they? When they were cast into the fiery furnace, let me ask you a question. Were they alone? No, there was one that was with them. Who was it? It was Jesus Christ. He was the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. We find him there. How about Daniel? The Bible said that Daniel's in the lion's den. And then Daniel, as he came out, he told the king, God had sent His angel to shut the mouth of the lions. Thank God for that. You see, when trouble comes, you have the protection of God. God wants to take you and place you in His pavilion. And let me tell you something. That pavilion is iron solid. Nobody can penetrate it. The devil can't. Enemies can't. Nobody can't. Because it's there is where we understand all that God is trying to teach us out of this passage and teach the nation of Israel as he is declaring unto them, hey, if you forsake God, He'll forsake you. You just turn your back on the very help you need when you are in trouble. He will guide us. Not only will He place us in His pavilion, but He will guide us. I think of John the Apostle. John the Apostle was put on the Isle of Patmos. He's the one, of course, we know he wrote the book of Revelation. He's the last living apostle. He was there because he had declared the testimony of Jesus Christ. And because of his stand for God and his stand for Christ and testimony for Christ, they exiled him to this island all by himself. But let me tell you something. He wasn't really by himself because God was right there with him. God came to him when he seemed to be in the worst of trouble. God came to him when it seemed like he couldn't go any further. And the Bible said that God wrapped his arms around him and he placed him in his pavilion and he guided him every step of the way. And remember, the Bible said that while he was there, it's when God came and gave him such a marvelous revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you realize the book of Revelation is not revelations? It's revelation, single, because it's not about visions and all the future necessarily. What it's about is it's about Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in the future. You see, he'll guide you. God will minister to us during our times of trouble. There have been times when I've had trouble like you have. We all do. And I don't mean little troubles like your car won't start. That's just aggravation. But I mean we had real troubles. And just as we have troubles, we have a God that's bigger than our troubles. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes a lot of spiritual growth to come to that place where we say, you know what, it's a blessing to have trouble in my life. It takes a lot. But trouble, according to Scripture, God shows us can be the very best thing for us. It's through trouble that we learn that it causes us to turn to God, to trust Him, to bring growth in our life, to bring God's presence, and to bring God's protection, the blessing of trouble. You say, what's my response to it? I don't know what God's doing through your life. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're having some trouble right now and you're just not sure how you're going to get through all those things. I guess about the one thing I've tried to always in my own life do, I've tried to do this, I've failed it. But one of the things I try to do is learn what it is God wants me to learn in that trouble, because I don't want that trouble anymore. Any of you ever felt that way? I don't want it anymore. God, what is it that you want to do in my life? I don't want it anymore. And so tonight, if you're in some trouble, realize that God is trying to work out something in your life. Whatever it is, I don't know. Maybe he wants to show you his power, how great and powerful he is. Maybe he wants to come to you and protect you and in a situation so you can see who he is. Maybe he wants to just come in his divine presence and come and minister to you right where you are. But I will tell you this. Trouble can be a blessing. It is a blessing when God's in it. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help us. Lord, I don't know what the people are going through tonight, but you certainly do. You know where we are. Lord, we have great people here, and I love every one of them. I thank you for the opportunity we have to minister to where they are. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you would just guide us and help us. Lord, we may be struggling tonight with some situations or circumstances or difficulties or hardships. Maybe we have trouble with our kids or maybe with our jobs or maybe with both, maybe with our health. But Lord, I pray that you'd please help us to just to lean on you, Lord, to ask you to guide us through these things. Lord, come and minister to us. And may we, Lord, not run away, but may we run toward you. Lord, the shift and the focus of Scripture is always to go toward God, and I pray, Lord, that would be the case with our own life. Lord, guide us now, we pray, and we give this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.